Good morning. Listening to Chad, I think Chad sensed that maybe some of us are just a bit sleepy this morning. So this morning we're going to try to wake up, I guess. I guess the best way to do that this morning is just for you to connect with what I'm going to share this morning. Maybe that'll help us wake up. My message this morning is titled, Look Up. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a very dangerous place to preach a message out of. Because Matthew 24 has a lot to do with eschatology. It has a lot to do with the end times. And there's many different ideas about the end times. So this morning, I'm not here to try to teach you anything concerning eschatology or the end times, how I think it's going to play out. That's not my goal this morning. But there's something in the first 14 verses I'd like for us to get a grip on, or to something for each one of us there if we like to learn, if we like to grow. Before we read into this, most of you know what Matthew 24 is about. It's about Jesus talking about the destruction of the temple, and he's talking about his return. And sometimes as we read through this, we kind of get a queasy stomach. We're a little bit uncertain because there's so many things he talks about in here that I'm not sure that I want to take part of. It talks about being persecuted. There's emotions that come with this. And the emotions are good. The emotions are okay. God gave us those. What am I going to do with these feelings, with these emotions? It's going to make a difference as to how I face life. Let's begin reading in Matthew 24, verse 1 through 14. And if you would, please stand. And Jesus went out. Thank you, Craig. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You may be seated. So here we have a picture of Jesus. They were in the temple. And as I read this, it talked about Jesus leaving the temple. This would have been the last time that Jesus would have left the temple before he was crucified. And the disciples were there asking him, Jesus, do you see all these stones? Look at the beauty of the temple. And to get us to have a little bit of a picture of what the temple was like, there were stones that were hewn out of bedrock, I guess you would say. They would go in there and they would chop, I don't want to call them tunnels, but they would chop little ditches into the stones with their pickaxes, whatever they would use. And they didn't have dynamite like we would use today. So instead they would take wood and they would put wood into those little trenches that they dug that fit very, very tight, and then they would soak it with water. And as it soaked with water, the wood expanded and it popped the rocks. That is how they got some of this. This is all stuff that I learned from history, from Josephus. But then they would take these stones, huge stones. Some of them would weigh over 3, 4, or 5 tons. And they would roll those on some kind of probably wood or maybe, I'm not sure what, but they would roll them and they would work together and get them down to the temple. How did they get up in place? I have no clue. They didn't have any fancy machinery to put them up there, but they had some way to put them there. And so the disciples were saying, Jesus, look. Look at what we have here. And I would have liked to read this and say, Jesus is like, oh, look at that. You guys do an amazing job. But you know what he said? There's not going to be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to disappear. And as I read that, I thought about myself. And I thought, what stones am I putting in place today for my own pleasure? What stones am I laying up so I can have a life here that is good? Something that satisfies me. And Jesus is telling me every stone that I put there is someday going to be removed. It's not going to last. We've heard this many times. You don't see U-Hauls behind hearses. It's not going to last. It's going to come to an end. He was telling the disciples, this is all going to come to an end. Prophecy. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives, which is out just a little distance from there. They could look down on the Temple Mount there. And then the disciples started asking him some questions. They said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And again, I expected Jesus would probably give them a date. Maybe he'd say, oh, probably in about 7 years. 7's a perfect number. About 7 years from now. But he didn't. Instead, in verse 4, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A lot of this stuff took place back then, but that's also happening today. How many of you remember back, you don't remember back in the 1800s, but as you studied history, 1843. How many of you heard about the Great Disappointment? That's what they tagged it. Anybody know anything about a man by the name of William Miller? Tom's nodding his head. William Miller started very close to what Harold Camping did here back in the 80s. William Miller started studying about Christ's return. And he got to narrow it down to within a one-year period, from 1843 to 1844, March 21st. He said, in that time, Christ is going to return. He started a new movement called the Millerites. I am not part of it, and neither is Tom. He started a movement called the Millerites. And in this movement, they believed Jesus was returning at this specific time. They're thinking there were probably at least 100,000 followers. It got to the place where the day came so close to what he said, where he said Jesus is coming back, that people actually dressed in white robes. They sold everything they had. They climbed trees and they climbed up on the mountains so they could be closer to Christ when he returns. Now we laugh at that and we think, how ridiculous. But they were deceived. Harold Camping did some of the same stuff, not the white robes and all that, but he had set a date. If we go back to this Mr. Miller, Pastor Miller, that was a Baptist pastor, it didn't happen. So he extended the date out into October. And when that didn't happen, many, many of his followers left Christianity, period. They were done. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This man sowed deception. He's reaping. How do we know when deception comes in? I could give you point number one, point number two. We could go on through a whole list of this is how not to be deceived. This morning I'm not going to do that. But I am going to give you Two things. I said I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you two things. Let's go that way. When I analyze something by my own thoughts and opinions, I'm setting myself up for deception. My own thoughts, my own opinions. My measuring stick has to be what? Somebody tell me, what's the measuring stick we go by? God's Word. If something comes along and we're not sure, let's go back to God's Word. See, that brings out the importance of knowing the Word of God. Unless we know what is in the Word, we're going to be deceived very easy. So that's the first thing to think about. We need to know the Word of God to keep from deception. There's another thing I thought about, and that is seeking counsel from godly brothers and sisters. When something comes along and I'm not too sure, I'm going to go to somebody that I can trust, and I'm going to ask them, what do you think about this? Help me research Scripture so I know whether this is correct or whether it isn't correct. Today there's a lot of deception happening in our world, and it's so important that we are cautious, that we are careful. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let's jump on to verse 13. He says there that, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And as I looked at this word endure, I thought, what in the world is endurance? How do I endure to the end? Because endure can have a positive and it can have a negative. This week, I went through a couple of rough days. I've been working on something in my personal walk. And Tuesday and Wednesday, that thing came back and it hit me with force. Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't want to play back again. They were horrible days. Something that I've been working on for a long time. But I got to thinking, you know what? Sometimes as we walk, something will trip us up. We'll fall. Use it as a stepping stone. Don't use it as, I fell, I give up. But use it as a stepping stone to fall forward. Does that make sense? To keep on moving forward. The next time that comes, hopefully it won't be as bad. The next time it comes, I have learned a few tricks, I've learned a few techniques not to fall back into that. So let's not take when we fall, when we mess up, let's not take that as I give up, I just can't do it, but let's take it as a stepping stone. The next time I'm going to do better because I have some answers that I didn't have. But one of the facts is when we are working on something in our life, when we're working on an area that we want to draw closer to Christ with, Satan's going to fight. If he doesn't have anything to fight for, he won't. But he fights. And when he fights, we turn towards Christ. How am I doing this morning? Am I walking the walk? Are there battles that are real? Am I not facing any battles? I question whether your walk is real. James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy, and am I so thankful that He is. Job didn't give up. For a bit there, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but he kept his faith. Turn in your Bibles. Actually, you don't need to do this. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. But my idea this morning is for us to realize that there is a battle. There is a battle. We look at this scripture that I read. There's so many things that have happened that are taking place, and it scares us. Let's be honest. It scares us. There are things that are happening today that we just aren't so sure about. We need to look up. But I want to read a story to you out of 2 Kings 6 this morning. Sometimes we read in Scripture, we read things that are really serious. By the way, this book has just about anything in it you want to read. The story I'm going to read this morning, I just have to smile. I just kind of have to laugh at how it came to place. Listen as I read this story in 2 Kings 6. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. What was happening here, Aram was wanting to go in and to fight against Israel, and he'd say, let's go down here to the valley of Sturgis. We understand Sturgis here. Let's set up there and let's fight against the children of Israel. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans," I've been having a hard time with that word. There's a couple of ways to pronounce that, and I can't remember what I decided. Arameans, we're going to do that. They're planning to mobilize their troops there. So every time they decided to put their troops there, Elisha would go talk to the Israelites and say, "Don't go there. They're planning to set up." And that kept happening over and over. Until finally the king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" Then one of his officers said, "It's not us, my lord the king. Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." Then he said, "Well, go find out where he's at. I want to send my troops to get him." So the report came back to him that Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city where Elisha and his servant were. The next morning, the servant wakes up. He steps outside of his tent or wherever he was sleeping. And this is what he saw. There were troops, there were horses, and there were chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what do we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." Catch that this morning. There are more on our side than on theirs. He saw all the troops out there, and there was a bunch of them, and there's just two of them. Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Elisha prayed that his servant could see what was around him. God gave him vision. And when he looked out the next time, the area was flooded with chariots from God. Not the enemy's chariots. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed. So now we have the servant sees all the God's army. He also realizes that they have the Aramean army there. And then Elisha prays another prayer. And I'm thinking, Elisha, you can't do this. This is not right. But Elisha prays, "God, would you blind the army's eyes?" And God did. That makes me smile. He asked God, "Would you blind them?" So he did. And so Elisha steps out. And he said, "Hey, you guys are in the wrong place. Follow me, I'll take you over to the right spot." And as he led them right back into Israel. Right into the middle of the enemy. And then he prayed again and said, "God, open their eyes." They opened their eyes and here they are right in the middle of the enemy. So the king asked, Israelite king asked, "What shall I do? Shall I kill them?" And Elisha said, "No, when we have somebody like this, we don't kill him. We feed him. Just feed him. And let's send him back home." So they had a feast. And they fed him and they sent him back home. And it says they didn't again come back and fight against Israel. Where am I going with this? The thing that really struck me was this. He asked God to open the eyes of the servant. I guess I want to ask us this morning, what am I seeing? Am I seeing? Are my eyes open? There's two different armies that are around us. Have I been rocked asleep by the pleasures that are around us? Is that the army that I'm listening to? Because if that's the army I'm listening to, I'm going to be deceived. If my goal is to build my fortune's here. That's all I'm going to have. My fortune's here. Am I asleep? Am I awake? The church in Laodicea was lukewarm. What did he tell them to do? Or what did he tell them he's going to do with them? He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what spew means? Vomit or spit. He said, if you're going to be lukewarm, you can't be apart. There's another army that's around us. That's a negative army. There's another army that's around us that we want to see. And that's God's army. But this army is going to stay at bay as long as I decide I want things my way. Once I'm ready to surrender, to give Him everything I have, that's the army that's going to be in control. And you know what? That army has already won the victory. And He says, I want you to be a part of that. So I want you to make it personal this morning. Which army am I fighting with? Which army am I agreeing to? I'm going to go to a couple verses in Luke, and then we'll close. Luke 21, which is also a sister chapter to Matthew 24, also Mark 13. But Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Friends, we have something we can look forward to. Unless we're listening to the wrong army this morning. If we're listening to the army that has the power over us, the spiritual power, that is a godly power. If we're listening to the Spirit, we have something so good to look forward to. God help us. That we walk faithfully. So much more I could say. I'm going to end with that. I'd ask you this morning to allow God to search you again. Yeah, things look scary out there. Things look difficult. But as I began to look at this, and to know that my redemption is drawing nigh, to look up, to keep my eyes on the, be focused as I run this race. It's not so bad after all. We got something good that we're heading to. Our eternity is sealed with Him. Unless we focus on self and what I want. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to ask you this morning just to allow God to search your life. If God's speaking something to you, would you give it to Him this morning? Would you allow Him to cleanse you, to clean you up? So you know that you're fighting, that you're standing under the correct army. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You so much for these Scriptures, Lord. Yes, Lord, there's things that are happening in life right now. We're calling evil good and good evil. And Lord, there's so much running in circles today. And Father, the fact is, we become angry when we see all this happening because we like to step in and take care of business. Just to be honest, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would help each one of us to allow You to search our hearts. Lord, see if there's anything wicked within us. I pray, Lord, that we would be committed to serving You and You only. And Lord, even if it means we suffer, that we suffer gladly because You suffer for us. We know what's at the end. Father, draw us close to yourself. Help us to be completely surrendered and committed to what you desire of us. You are so good. You're such a merciful God. We also realize, Lord, that there is a judgment, and it's so important. Bless this congregation. Thank you again, Lord, for speaking into our hearts. We will serve you. We bless you and we love you. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the food that's been prepared. Thank you again so much for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.